Then there were the ferals, you know, the homeless kids who'd lost their parents. We'd find them curled up in basements, in closets, under beds. A lot of them had walked from as far away as back east. They were in bad shape, all malnourished and sickly. A lot of times they'd run. Those were the only times I felt bad, you know, that I couldn't chase them. Someone else would go. A lot of times they'd catch up, but not always. The biggest problem were Quislings.
Quislings?
Yeah, you know, the people that went nutballs and started acting like zombies.
Could you elaborate?
Well, I'm not a shrink, so I don't know all the tech terms.
That's all right.
Well, as I understand it, there's a type of person who just can't deal with a fight-or-die situation. They're always drawn to what they're afraid of. Instead of resisting it, they want to please it, join it, try to be like it. I guess that happens in kidnap situations, you know, like a Patty Hearst, Stockholm Syndrome type, or like in regular war, when people who are invaded sign up for the enemy's army. Collaborators, sometimes even more diehard than the people they're trying to mimic, like those French fascists who were some of Hitler's last troops. Maybe that's why we call them Quislings, like it's a French word or something. But you couldn't do it in this war. You couldn't just throw up your hands and say, "Hey, don't kill me, I'm on your side." There was no gray area in this fight, no in between. I guess some people just couldn't accept that. It put them right over the edge. They started moving like zombies, sounding like them, even attacking and trying to eat other people. That's how we found our first one. He was a male adult, mid-30s, dirty, dazed, shuffling down the sidewalk. We thought he was just in Z-shock until he bit one of our guys, Perez, in the arm. That was a horrible few seconds. I dropped the cue with a headshot, then turned to check on my buddy. He was crumpled on the curb, swearing, crying, staring at the gash in his forearm. This was a death sentence, and he knew it. He was ready to do himself until we discovered that the guy I shot had bright red blood pouring from his head. When we checked his flesh, we found he was still warm. You should have seen Perez lose it. It's not every day you get a reprieve from the big governor in the sky. Ironically, Perez almost died anyway. The bastard had so much bacteria in his mouth that it caused a near-fatal staph infection. We thought maybe we stumbled onto some new discovery, but it turned out it'd been happening for a while. The CDC was just about to go public. They even sent an expert up from Oakland to brief us on what to do if we encountered more of them. It blew our minds. Did you know that Quislings were the reason some people used to think they were immune? They were also the reason all those bullshit wonder drugs got so much hype. Think about it. Someone's on Phalanx, that fake antiviral that was so popular before the plague really hit the U.S., and gets bit but survives. What else is he going to think? He probably wouldn't know there was even such a thing as Quislings. They're just as hostile as regular zombies and in some cases even more dangerous. I think the saddest thing about them is they gave up so much and in the end lost anyway.
Why is that?
Because even though we can't tell the difference between them, the real zombies can. Remember early in the war, when everybody was trying to work on a way to turn the living dead against one another? There was all this documented proof about infighting, eyewitness accounts, and even footage of one zombie attacking another. Stupid. It was zombies attacking Quislings, but you never would have known that to look at it. Quislings don't scream. They just lie there, not even trying to fight, writhing in that slow, robotic way, eaten alive by the very creatures they're trying to be.
Mm-hmm.